Zach Bent created the installation, The Charity Stripe, in 2023 for the Jack Straw New Media Gallery. I sat down with Zach in the Jack Straw studio to talk about the sounds and visuals in his installation and the mascot costumes his sons wore to honor camaraderie and celebration.
When you enter the installation, you encounter two videos that face each other, and they are on the south and north walls in the studio. Those two videos, as you come into the space, they run about 8 minutes in duration, and then at the conclusion of those videos, they go to credits, fade to black, and then there is a small sculpture that is essentially a Air Jordan basketball shoebox. That shoebox is perforated with a bunch of holes and has light that emanates from it. So once the videos come off, then that box makes the sound of basketball sneakers squeaking on a court. So it sounds like you're inside of a basketball game with an intensified sound of the shoes squeaking. So I sort of went in reverse, but that's a kind of an element that's quietly happening there. On the two videos, there are basically three mascots, and those three mascots have two different contexts that they are working in. One is that they're practicing performing what it might be like to be mascots. It's inside of an old gymnasium. So they're jumping on trampolines. They're doing these confetti pours. They're trying to help each other, even though they're both rivals and sort of working together as a pseudo team. So that's on one video where they're practicing trying to do that work. And then the second video is them practicing dance routines. And those dance routines are kind of a first in silence. So you just hear the footsteps of the dancers. Then after a while, there starts to become a beat that comes about. And if you have an ear for it, it's the sound of sort of bleacher stomping and clapping, and it builds a kind of rhythm. And then there is like a guitar solo that goes over the top of them as they all dance together. In the gym, as they're pouring, they also have an actualized version of themselves that comes about where they imagine what it's like for them to be cheered on. So you hear the sound of a crowd cheering. And so it's just kind of a real mix of very basic sounds of these spaces and then some hype sounds that might come with like sporting events. And most of it is either constructed by me or field recordings or the like.
In your artist bio, and I think on your website too, you describe how your art is a collaboration with your family, with your three sons and your wife. Mm-hmm. What's the process like with your family when you're working on new art?
I think the term collaboration is, it's accurate, but it's not a full-on collaboration. That's why my name is on the bill. I'm more like a director in many regards. So I act as a director when we're working on projects together. I usually have the idea or the context for which we're going to work. And we've done a number of projects over the years together. And so generally, I sort of invite them in and let them know like, hey, this is the context. I'd like to do this in this situation. These are maybe the props I have involved. These are some gestures or some activities that I think we could capture for film, still images or video, and then we kind of see where it goes. So it starts with me having sort of a directorial set of fences, and then hope to see what happens. And the kind of what happens is that's the delight, because I don't know how they're going to interact. And it's not like we have a direct script for any of the projects, but it's much more sort of in the moment. So it can be that I'm surprised by something, the way someone's holding a rock or some – in these videos, the mascots at the end just being themselves end up on some cell phones like sitting. And I was just like, I love this. Like this is what mascots would do when they're done with their routine. They'd get on their cell phones and kind of cool down, you know. But these are like actual teenagers doing it. So there's sort of a delight in that. Each of my sons, though, will typically bring something to the table. So they'll have something, an idea that they'll have, and they've all worked with me long enough to where they have either something they'll do or say, hey, like this seems like this would be better around this idea. And particularly to be specific and to be able to articulate something that happens in these videos, these mascots, they do these different confetti pours on top of each other, and they're out of like a cooler like you would normally see Gatorade poured out of. So they pour the confetti out on each other. But when we're done doing that, I think I originally just thought, hey, we'll do this pour. But my oldest son was like, oh, no, now we have to actually clean it up because that's the labor. Like we make the mess and now we have to deal with like the mess we made. And I was like, you nailed it. Like it's so good. And he's really like a pretty bright conceptually. So he's like he could see through the work a next level. I was like, oh, I might have missed that. It's like someone finding the egg in the corner, you know. So I definitely like rely on them and think of them as collaborators, not just like, hey, stand here and do this, you know. So I don't know if that's helpful in describing what it's like to work together, but that's what the collaboration kind of can look like.
So in your project, there is a big theme of basketball. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from friends that in Indiana, there is a big culture of basketball, like in the schools, it's competitive. Can you tell me more about growing up in a basketball culture?
I can. Do you have friends from Indiana?
I had a coworker, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, like I've heard people talk about like the South and the way they talk about football. And I've never really got a beat on the Northwest, like what the sport is here or if it's just more like – I guess maybe soccer has some of that, like really being a thing here. But basketball kind of has its like originations and heart in the heartland. And that particular state, it is like true religion. It just is what people do. People have, you know, there are religious people, but basketball's a religion. And the kind of gyms that I grew up going into when I was a kid, they were small and they were loud and it felt like the walls were going to come down. It meant everything to everyone. And so it's a lot of blood, sweat and tears and hoops in Indiana. And then in the 80s, there's a relatively famous film that's probably in the byways of B-movies now called Hoosiers. And that film was all built around some of this basketball hysteria in Indiana and had like Gene Hackman and Dennis Hopper in it. And it was about these kind of small towns where like kids play basketball on a dirt floor and farmland with maybe a milk crate for the hoop or whatever, you know, like really sparse basketball setup. So I grew up in those lands and it's just like, I mean, I was a kid, like I go outside in the winter and you cut your fingers off your gloves in the snow and we would shoot hoops until there was too much ice, not to shoot anymore. It is. It's pretty intense in how it works there.
My favorite part of the installation is it feels really family-oriented. And you tell us, like, these are brothers, right? Mm-hmm. But it feels like, yeah, like I feel motivated to do teamwork with my friends, with my family. It makes me appreciative of the connections I have with people. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part of the installation?
Yeah, something that emerged is an instance where my youngest son in particular, he was like, we try to get him into sports. Like my older kids played baseball and they played a little basketball and then they moved into high school. They kind of let it go. But the littlest guy, Casper, just never was into it. And He's more like an actor and a dancer. He likes to draw. He loves to cook. And just like the sports, the hand-eye coordination around them, just never felt very natural for him. And so we were doing this, and he was one day, we're jumping on the trampolines. I was like, okay, run, jump on the trampoline, then just like try to shoot a layup. Like he was just really getting upset. And sort of his collaborative piece to this was, I was like, look, it's okay that you're bad at this. Like that's like, these mascots are not good at their job, and it's okay if you're bad at it. And so when I started editing, I was like, oh, you know what I'll do is I'll kind of like let him be the failure a little bit. So we came back and I was like, made him get a water break in the middle. And he lays down in the middle of the court, and the brother, his brothers come and lay next to him, put their heads on him. And for me, oh my gosh, it almost made me cry as a dad. But I was like, this is really tender, real moment. Like, you know, it's them coming together. And so that's, for me, the part where the video, it becomes less of them as actors and more of them as themselves. And I think there's times when they're themselves in it and times when they're like, okay, we're acting for dad, you know. And so I like those little moments where it's like, oh, this is them. And they've lived a life with each other. They're intimate. They are a team, like you're describing. They have to care for each other. Hopefully they will their whole lives, you know. And so I think that's my favorite part.
In the installation statement, it says that throughout your art, there's themes of brotherhood, rituals of intimacy, coming of age, and ideas of masculinity. Mm. Has your art always focused on those themes? And if not, how did you get to a point where you knew you wanted to focus on those?
I think it was in working with my subjects, they brought those themes. And there's like the old adage, like you write what you know. And for many years, I would go off and on of working with my family because I would think, oh, this is just too personal. And maybe it's like self-focused. Like this is about me. It's not really useful for other people. But a lot of those themes are things that other people are working with in life. And so at some point, I have to kind of give myself over and be like, well, I'm writing what I know. These are my sons. They're coming of age. I'm trying to learn how to be a father. I'm trying to learn how to hand down meaningful traditions, ways of thinking about their lives, how to be ethical humans, how to like love in the world, how to care for others, how to see that they're not the center of the universe. So in that, it's like, it's hard for that stuff not to just leak into what we're doing. We make figurative work and then we're there and it's kind of a place to think about it. I always like to think that I can stretch a little further where it becomes a bit more universal, where someone else might be able to get something from it, like that they could feel some of those ideas more more nuanced so that it's not hyper-personal. I guess the themes kind of surprised me. They're like, oh, this is what we're working with because I'm working with people that are coming of age and in relationship. I always think my work has always kind of been about community and thinking about how you have always just been interested in relationships and then picturing relationships in some ways, like how we affect each other. And I don't think I've always been great at it, but sometimes there are times that are better than others where it's like I got to something a little more special here that maybe others might be able to grab a hold of. Maybe there's something to say too that like we're all coming of age over and over again, you know, like we're always coming into a new age. I'm like a couple years from 50 and I'm like, oh man, I'm coming into this like whole new way of being in the world. We don't really ever stop coming of age.
I read somewhere that this installation is a series of art projects that have to do with the mascot heads. Mm. Are there any future plans?
I don't know if the mascot heads will grow more. The more of the series of projects, I think I've tried to think long term a little like, well, what kind of projects will I do once my team is done working with me? So I had been photographing basketball hoops that were just like almost like on their last leg, if not, sometimes they're broken down or half broken. they can be like in a deserted lot, or they can have moss growing on them or whatever. So I photographed those and called them lonely hoops, just because they felt almost like old anthropomorphized creatures who are just like sitting there, like unloved, just alone. So I was making those pictures for a while, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to work on a series more around some ideas using basketball as the baseline. So I do have some other installations and ideas that are around using kind of basketball as the starting point. That's kind of where I was thinking about seeing where this project goes. But those mascot heads are not – I have them, so they could go on. I mean, they started with my family, but I could also see them extending to something that's more event-oriented. They're playful and they're fun. There could be more mascots. These three mascots are the most popular collegiate mascots. So, yeah, the mascots are an eagle, a tiger, and a bulldog, and those are the most popular. The more colleges than not have those, and probably high schools as well. Who says why exactly, but those are the creatures that people want as mascots. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. The mascot heads, they're still around looking at me.
What's up?
They're in my studio like, hey.
Come on, take me out.
No, we were going to – my oldest said, he's like, you know, you should bring those to the installation. I was like, well, the people are just going to want to wear them, you know. So I don't know. I don't know how you deal with sharing a public object that goes on people's heads. But yeah, they were made – by a colleague of mine, Scott Coble. His daughter at the time, she was a senior in high school, and she was making all these costumes, her and her friends. I thought they were awesome, and I was like, would you make me these heads? And I commissioned her, paid her to make the heads. They're really cool. And so she made those in 2018, and the project just – I never really had the time or the right space to do it. So it took a minute to use them, but glad to get there finally.
Was it intentional to give a specific son a specific mascot head?
The eagle head was the smallest, so it fits the smallest kid. But when they first tried them on in like 18 or 19 when we had them, the older two kids, it was switched. And maybe a little bit. My middle kid, I was like, he's the bulldog, because he just is kind of like that. He's both like the peacemaker, but he has some dog in him, so he would say, you know, like he's a wild kid at times. But what happened is I was trying to piece together uniforms from like eBay buying and stuff and getting uniforms that just said this name on it, eagles, bulldogs, or tigers, and the sizes weren't right. So the older kid had to become the bulldog because it fit him better, because he's taller. He's like 6'3". Ezra is, and Solomon is a little smaller. So I was like, I'm sorry, you have to switch. Like, you're now a tiger. But Gayla says, well, he's kind of like a tiger too. So yeah, it's a good question. But definitely the eagle was always the eagle. He was the winner, the weak one in a sense. Yeah. He seemed to pull it off pretty well.
What was it like collaborating with Jack Straw?
This is my second time being at Jack Straw, and it is an honor to work with this institution, cultural center. I think it is – I describe this place as like one of the hidden treasures in Seattle. Yeah, it is really special. It's special for lots of different reasons to me. One is just the breadth of projects that are covered here. I mean, you can – and I'm not going to be able to articulate. Like, I just know that there's writer programs, there's writing programs, there's radio programs, audio programs to apply for this residency and do it. I mean, you get help from an engineer, you get help installing, you can learn about mics. There's a whole technical library or toolkit that someone could pick up here, just getting that experience. From my understanding, too, it's just I think of it as like a really equitable institution in that – like, this will be my second time working with blind and visually impaired students, young students. And the last time I did it was absolutely delightful. I can't wait to have that opportunity again. So I think I don't even really know all that's happening in the edges here, but it is a wonderful institution. Levi, Daniel, Joan, that I've worked with all of them and on this project, Tom. Yeah, it's a good set of halls. I was like having a conversation about our workshop coming up and with Daniel and Jesse and Joan, and got off the call. And my wife, Kayla, was like, what a delightful conversation. I was like, I know, that's what it's like working at Jack Straw. Like, there's a certain pace to it. There's a lot of care. So I'm glad to be here again, and I feel grateful for the opportunity.
Have you learned anything in creating this installation?
I say it on my artist statement, and I say it when I'm able to in other contexts, but it's having my oldest son now getting ready to go to college and not quite to the end of an era of collaborating with them, but I have like a gratefulness that parallels the project itself, and that I'm just really grateful to have had them just so game to work with me for a long time. And I've had lots of people tell me like that's weird and rare that you would have kids who would just be up for that. And I do pay them. I want them to feel like they're compensated for their labor. But sometimes they'll be like, nah, just get us some sandwiches or whatever. It's all good, you know. And they're just really – they carve out their schedule to join in. And then my spouse, Gayla, she's like picks up all the slack of like helping the project run smoothly and just be there for us. Load the car, you know, grab snacks, call the person that needs to be called. Like I just can be like, hey, you do this, you do that. She'll do it. And we work the same. I work that way for her on her projects as well. But I think this kind of a space of gratefulness, the project is about learning how to celebrate. So I think those coming together is beautiful. And I'm enjoying that.
The Charity Stripe by Zach Bent was created through the Jack Straw New Media Gallery Residency Program. Podcast interviewer and producer is Carlos Nieto. Engineer is Daniel Gunther. The Jack Straw Residency Programs are made possible with support from the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture, For Culture, Washington State Arts Commission, the U District Partnership, National Endowment for the Arts, Rainier Institute and Foundation, Arts Fund, and individual contributors. To learn more about our arts programs and hear more podcasts, visit us at jackstraw.org.